This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. Hey, good afternoon, world. It's Carm Capriotto. It's Aftermarket Weekly, all part of the Remarkable Results Radio Podcast Network. Hey, I'm with Matt Wagg, Accelerated Diagnostics and Automotive in Bennington, Nebraska. Hello, Matt. How are you, man?
Good, Carm. How are you?
As my new friend, Matt, of course, he was my friend, but I never knew that I was his friend. And how I explain that is I was at Vision and Matt came up and said, hey, I've always wanted to say hi to you. You've always told every listener, if you ever see me out, please stop and say hi. And you did. And I found out that we have a lot of things in common. I know your business coach and you're a big fan of the show.
I am. I've been listening for quite a while and I can accredit a lot of the joys to what we've had and the success to what we've had to the episodes that you've brought to me and others alike. Really don't think we would be where we are today or possibly even in business still without what you've done, Carm. So thank you very much for all you do for everybody in the industry.
I'm honored. And every time I hear stuff like that, it truly just throws fuel in my engine. And it just keeps me going and constantly looking for new ideas, new people, new voices. And to talk about some of the things that we talked about two or three or five, we've been doing this 7 years. And I look back and I say, you know, there's stuff from 4 or 5 years ago that we've talked about. We need to recycle those ideas into, if you will, the 2022 view of what some of them great issues are. Well, you're here and we're going to see a tour of your place, Accelerated Diagnostics and Automotive. There's a picture of it. Can't wait to see it. My daughter Tracy says that it's a really cool place. Wait till you see it, Dad. So I never like to look at the places until I see them for the first time along with my guest. How's business for you, Matt?
You know what? It's been great. That was one of the things that was the most scariest about opening up. So we opened September 2020. During COVID, it was one of those deals where it was like, you know what, if we can make it through this, we should be able to weather through about anything. So, and honestly, it's just been an up, you know, we've just been going up every month. You know, we just finished out February 2022 and it was our best month we've had by far. And I think we've got some great plans for the rest of the year, but it's busy and it's hard to keep up. And our name's getting out more and more locally and people are reading our reviews. And I mean, it's just wild how organically that this word of mouth and you do good work and give a good experience to people and how much it just organically spreads. And, you know, it's been great. Long story short.
Well, you have a great opportunity to dig into your memory of starting up during COVID and, you know, the little engine that could, if you will, and to your current success. We always have these cyclical challenges in business and in life. No doubt something's going to happen again down the road. Like it, you know, we can look back and almost every decade we have something. So when that happens again, you're going to dig back and say, wow, in 2020, look what we did. We started from scratch during COVID. You can't get much worse than that. So you will probably figure out how to cope with and fight through any challenges that you have. So I'm so glad to hear that. You know, we have a great partnership with Dorman, and they're the ones, actually, Dorman brings you this episode every week. So let's give a high five out to our partner, Dorman. The aftermarket is filled with companies that make replacement parts, but few invest in design, engineering, manufacturing, programming, and testing like Dorman. They are home to hundreds of mechanical, electrical, and manufacturing engineers spread out all across the globe who ensure every part that is produced meets rigorous industry standards for performance. To do this, Dorman utilizes cutting-edge technology and equipment to test fit, form, and functionality of all their parts. Some of these tests include rapid prototyping 3D models for fitment checks, tolerance testing on both mechanical and electronic components through salt fog and thermal heat and pressure testing. Dorman drives their dedication to their engineering by including their in-house programmers who write and test new software solutions. Solving for a problem is what powers the innovation engine at Dorman. Dorman invests in these OE innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. Hey, to learn more about Dorman's engineering process, visit dormanproducts.com/tour. Thanks again, Dorman. When I was at the big event out in New York, Dorman was there and I had a chance to tour some of their neat new products and great innovative company. There's a couple of things I want to talk to you about. Number one is the challenge that it takes to start a new business, Matt, like you did, and started with a business coach, like right off. And you talk about, having, a God bless that your success could be a whole lot better, quicker, and faster than to listen to the guidance of a coach. But let me say this. Matt graduated with a degree in automotive technology. He went to become a dealer technician, and then he went back to become a teacher. And then somehow, Matt, you looked at stuff that was going on the industry and said, I think I could do that better. Is that right?
It was. I really saw a need. I think when I was a faculty member at the college, we worked with all these advisory boards, and you would see a common theme with all of the different members that would come in. And, there's obviously a shortage in the workforce, and then there's a shortage of skilled labor, which therefore leaves a large deficit for all these vehicles that need to be serviced and serviced well, I feel, So I just felt like I had a skill set that I could better utilize other places in the industry. And that's what really drove me to want to become a business owner and provide a good place for my team members to work and a good place for, the local community to bring their cars and vehicles to have service, just somebody they can trust and with a facility that's looking 5 to 10 years down the road at what are these changes going to be? What are we going to be seeing coming down the pipeline? And so that I think has been just one of the things that I felt that we could really do well with.
So let's spend some time with the audience, and we may even just label this episode, "So I Want to Start a Business," right? If you could just walk us through, I mean, there's only, 55 things on page one that you need to worry about. But what are, the top two or three that you'd love to share with the audience that brought you to where you believe, really helped you with your current success?
When I decided I wanted to open the business, I had no clue how to open a business. That was challenge number one. Family members or anything like that, nobody in my family's opened a business. So I ended up enrolling in an evening class at the community college. It was called Entrepreneurship 101. That was kind of the key to the door, and spent time with the instructor. And part of that class, we had to write a little mini business plan. I didn't know what a business plan was at the time. When we got through with the course at the end of the semester, the instructor said, "Matt, you ought to get involved. Here's a couple groups locally that can help you further to, take this business plan and craft it into something you can really work with." Through that class I took, there's a place called Nebraska Business Development Center through the university, but it's a free consulting service that helped me craft our final business plan and prepare financial projections for 3 years to go talk to the bank about financing with.
Let me stop you for a minute. Give me a timeline on from the school to the fact that you think you have a refined business plan. A year, 2 years? What?
Took me about a year. And it's a lot to write a business plan, as I'm sure many people know. And if you don't know, it's roughly, we had about 30, 35 pages of work to go through and build this thing out. Thank goodness I did too. That just really helped a ton.
Did you go to the bank?
I did. And the first time wasn't great.
I was going to say, what's their first reaction?
Well, they said, "Here's how much, you're asking for this much money. Here's how much we would like to see up front. And hey, we want to put a lien on your mortgage." We weren't quite prepared for all that.
Did they ask for firstborn?
They about did.
You had no one else to go to for money except for the bank, right? Okay.
Correct. Once we found out what it was going to take to get our financing we needed, we took honestly a 2-year break to regroup, and we knew we needed to save more money as a family to be able to comfortably do this. And that was a good lesson. It really helped me regroup and figure it out.
Let me ask you a question about that 2-year regroup. Did you tell the bank, "Listen, we really appreciate, you working with us, giving us this kind of insight, we'll be back"? Or did you go to a different bank?
I said, "We will be back."
And then you ultimately went back after you probably scrimped every dime and nickel. You didn't go out to dinner. You didn't buy stuff. People can do that. They can become hermits at home while they're trying to save money, right?
Exactly. That's what we practically did, you know, and we still got some of those habits, you know, being a new business. We don't want to just go out and start. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Right. So, but yeah, that's what we did is we just saved and we worked hard and knew that this is what I feel we are meant to do. And we saved as much money and went back to the bank. And lo and behold, they approved the loan we asked for the second time we went back. That was a huge accomplishment to be able to at least be able to say, here's the money for you guys to use for what you want to use
it. Was it seed money, capital money, investment money, buying equipment? Was it the building? Was it one whole, was it everything?
It was an SBA loan. We knew we weren't going to be able to get approved to purchase an existing business or building. So we knew going in, we were going to lease a property. And so we were going to utilize this money to purchase equipment. You know, when you see the shop, you'll see that it was just a big open warehouse, more or less, when we got it. And so we've put everything in there, but it was equipment, it was office supplies, just any of the moving pieces of the business. And then some money, obviously, to get us rolling with our rent for the first couple months and to be able to hire an employee. And it worked out perfect.
I love it. I think you just got it. A night school, mini business plan, local business group, business development center. Present to the bank, expect that it's possible if you don't have any money to put up, you know, say you needed 200 grand. And if you had 100, they'd probably give you the other 100. I guarantee you. But if you didn't have a whole lot to start with, again, you had to go back, regroup, which you did. SBA loans, very, very smart. Man, you're up, you're open after your lifelong dream to do this.
It's surreal. This moment right now is just something I've dreamed about even, you know, but I want to be able to give back to as many as I can.
And that's why you're here. You're here because there's an evolution of businesses in any industry. The shop owners that are 55, 60, 65 started when they were young, like you. And so where are the young people starting up wanting to build smarter, better businesses because they're smarter and better? They've seen a lot of good. They've seen a lot of bad. They want to do good. You know, we just recently interviewed Travis Troy, 30 years old, two locations, a business partner, $4 million business. And there's nothing that they seem to not be able to do. That's our future. You are our future. And, you know, you one day, as you continue to grow and be good at profitability, business leadership, hiring great people, culture, you're going to be able to go to some of those older shop owners and make an acquisition. And they'll be more than happy to sit and talk to you because maybe they didn't plan on how to get out and you are planning on how to grow. It all started with a business coach. And I think that's one of the other things you want to mention is that it was such a smart move for you to bring a business coach on in the infancy of the business.
Yeah, just that's been a key contributor to how we've grown. And I mean, I know for a fact we probably wouldn't be where we are today without going through coaching. And prior to opening the business, I was looking for a mentor and I got introduced to Sherry Stock, who owns In Motion in Lincoln, Nebraska, down the road from us. And one of the best pieces of advice she gave me was hire a coach as soon as you can. And that's exactly what we did. We started coaching, I want to say it was 4.5 to 5 months into being in business. I made this is a non-negotiable. I have to have a coach as soon as I can.
Was that in the business plan, by the way, Matt?
You know, at first it wasn't, to be honest. It was something that I thought I would want to do, but it is now. And it will be as long as we are in business. You know, I think as soon as we're about 2 months, you know, this was prior to getting our financing. You know, we had a business plan written for the bank, but it still evolves every day, in my opinion, and I update it. But I think that just the importance of coaching, I mean, you don't know what you don't know. And if you can really rely on somebody that has those experiences and knowledge and proven, you know, methods to do things, and you're able to take that in and apply it, it's just been phenomenal what it's helped us with.
You nailed it. I don't know what I don't know. And I always kind of joke about, you know, you just don't know what's around the next corner. It's tough to ask the questions of anyone if you don't know what's around the next corner. But it is easy to talk to someone who has been around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 corners. And they learn from every one of them. And they could come on and be your wise owl, your wise business coach, your accountability partner. And I think our industry has one of the most phenomenal and unique opportunities in their coaching, in our consulting fields than any other industry. I have to say how many business coaches that I know in the industry, how many some associations that I've participated in with coaches, their hearts are so pure. Their intentions are so strong and they want you to win. You picked a coach based on research?
It was, yeah. Yeah, see, I didn't really even know of coaching until I started listening to the podcast. And, you know, once Sherry and I had that talk, I really started to focus and hone in on, and, you know, I'm searching episodes on through your podcast, just, you know, different coaching topics. And I would hear different coaches come on. And that was really what led me to go the coaching route I did and pick the coach that I'm with.
And who are you with?
I'm with Bill Haas. And Bill's been just a remarkable player in the success of our business. And I consider him a friend and family. He's just a huge help for us in many different aspects.
Bill's a good friend. I'm sure he's just going to be so happy to. First of all, he's probably thrilled of how successful you currently are and that you made a very smart decision in 2020 to hire a coach. Hey, thank you for this. I want to do one more thing before we get to see your shop tour. Because of your background of being a teacher in automotive technology, I'm involved in a local 20 group of independents and also on the advisory board of our local 2-year automotive tech college. The chair of the automotive technology department came to our meeting last month and said, and we were talking about a bunch of stuff, and then he said, look, we need part-time instructors. And he looked around the room and he says, you all started as technicians. Now you're shop owners. You want to give back a little bit? Please come in and teach a class. Pick one night a week. We cannot find part-time instructors and we need them. Would you encourage that, since you've been a full-time instructor, to talk to the industry and say, hey, why don't you get involved? And there's another reason to get involved. You're meeting these young students. You're always going to need interns and apprentices and help build your bench. What a better way to meet some of these young people.
It really is. And one of the things like people don't realize until you're actually there and doing it is teaching can be some of the most impactful and meaningful work that somebody can do. And I personally feel that, you know, being able to go and make a difference in somebody's life on that level is just the ultimate satisfaction, one of the ultimate most satisfactions I've had in my life. But you're absolutely right. There's such a shortage in our industry in almost every position. But one thing that we're going to start to see is a lot of these instructors at these collegiate level programs, they're starting to retire out. And then, you know, it's hard to find technicians, but it's twice as hard to find somebody that wants to go in and teach. Whether that be, you know, as an adjunct instructor, that's just a great opportunity to go give back. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time during the evening and you can really change somebody's life. That one student that comes back three years later just says, you know what, I wouldn't be where I am today. I mean, that feeling is one of the best you'll ever get. It is so cool.
Well, thank you for affirming and confirming my thinking. He said this word called adjunct. And everybody said, well, what the heck is that? Because if you're not in the education business, you don't know what that means. It's just part-time instructor. So don't be afraid if somebody says, would you like to be an adjunct? Whoa, what the heck is that? Part-time instructor, please. Knock on the door of your college. Call them up. Send them an email. I'll guarantee you they'll want an interview with you to talk to you about what you could possibly do. Hey, this segment was great. Thank you. I can't wait to see your place. Let's get ready to do this wonderful tour of your shop.
So we're located in Bennington. We're a suburb on the northwest side of Omaha. So our building, we spent quite a while trying to find a building. This was a project. It took us about a year and a half to 2 years to find the right building.
It's huge.
So we do share it with two other tenants. We've got a transmission shop down on the end over there. And then we've got a boat repair in the middle. And then we are on the end. When you look at the front of the building, it doesn't really do a lot of justice until you see the inside. But our facility is 7,500 square feet, the bay that we have. And so we do have, you know, we've got a separate door there for our parts deliveries and employees. And, you know, our key drop is right there. By the way, this building was exactly how I envisioned it when I wrote our business plan. And you might have seen the hours on the front door, but we're only open Monday through Friday, no weekends, to kind of give us that time with our family. And work-life balance is really important to us. So when our guests come in, you know, they'll be greeted by one of our staff. And so I've got a service advisor at the front counter, and he came on in August, and that was a huge deal. And we really stressed, you know, the professionalism of our industry. So we have three ASE master techs on staff, and two of us are advanced level specialists. And that's something that I really push and promote to all of our team members is to become certified and, you know, really show pride in what we do. So this is our waiting area here. And as you can see, our lobby is pretty good size. We were fortunate when we moved in. This was just a big open area when we moved in. So my wife and I, the 30 days before we opened up, we were in here every night just painting and filling drywall holes. And so we built a kids area there. And I'm extremely proud of the desk back there. We built, me and a friend built that ourselves. It was just some of the things we did to try to save cost when we opened. And some of our design in the lobby, these are just old service stations and auto repair shops that were in the Omaha area from about the 1920s all the way to the 50s.
Well, that's a nice idea, paying homage to the to the growth of the industry.
Exactly.
When you say this desk, you mean the counter and everything there. You built that. Is that knotty pine? Knotty pine?
It's a cedar.
A cedar, okay.
Yep.
Nice. And then, is that granite or quartz?
Yeah, that's granite.
Nice.
And I'm really proud of that. We started out for about the first 9 months in business, we just had plywood up top of there, some laminated plywood.
See, here he is talking about the fact that he didn't spend oodles of money on day one, but you had the vision of someday we'll have granite.
Yeah. And then we were able to do that. And so this is my work area right here. We're in the process. You'll see when we go upstairs, in the process of building an office upstairs for myself. And eventually a second advisor will sit at that position. And this is where my other advisor, Jake, works at. And we kind of split the counter. And I wanted to make sure it had a good flow of movement.
I continue to hear the word sacrifice. That, you know, you didn't have to have a big office. You didn't have to have granite. No. You got open. You started to run a company that was going to be profitable sooner than later. And then when you saved a little bit of money, you put it in this bucket over here. Then the granite came, I'm sure. I'm sorry I'm getting in the way of seeing the shop here. Oh, you have a Blackstone grill. I have one just like that.
Yeah, so we're big on like mission, vision, values, and we talk about that all the time. And we keep track of goals. You know, these are kind of labor hour goals. That way the guys can see where we're at. And, you know, we benchmark a lot of stuff. But we cook a lot, too. So we've got a Blackstone, and we just got that. And when we get to the back of the shop, you'll see we've got a barbecue back there. And so we've got our key rack there and just some of the consumable supplies. We tried to make this slat wall was in there when we moved in. So we've just tried to make use of some of the existing stuff as we grow. And this is our front drive-through door. So we've got a door at the front and the rear of the shop. And so it just kind of depends. Sometimes we'll move cars in here to do quick assessment on them, and we'll schedule them back through, move them into the back. And this is where our parts deliveries get dropped off. You know, we've got our batteries, and we try to be pretty organized with new parts and returns, and got a pretty good process for making sure we're getting cores back and returns back to the vendors as fast as possible. But one of the best things, the best features of this shop is that back here is air conditioned. And that was, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh boy, it's sold. That's a done deal.
So what do you get? You get about two or three nice hot months in Nebraska, or is it more than that?
Yeah, probably four or five. In last summer, you know, we got to run the air conditioning, and we kept it about 73 degrees in there. It was just awesome how well it felt in there, because it gets really humid in Nebraska. So,
well, it sure looks like you bought a lot of equipment.
We started out with just two hoists, you know, and when we opened, it was just myself. I was the sole technician, and my wife would come work the counter for 4 or 5 hours a day while the older kids were in school. And then I would kind of double duty, and we just started to add employees as we had business increase. And then we started adding equipment as we went. So back there, that was just kind of our inventory. We just, again, just starting out, we didn't want to have a ton of money into inventory wrapped up. So we just keep a lot of our quick moving fluids. And this is our upstairs area. So we keep like some of our supplies and, you know, our uniforms, and that's our employee break area that we've built for now. And again, my office will go up here.
Well, you have a place for the guys. It may not be self-contained and open like that, but at least it's air conditioned, huh?
It is.
How nice. And what? Oh, is this training?
training material.
I love that. I mean,
we
come on.
We are big on training.
Stop the tape right there. I mean, I think that was just beautiful to see that there's, you know, in many places they'll have bookshelves up. This is a self-contained, listen, I've been talking to Matt Fonzel just today earlier about this whole, how many classes have we gone to? Who was our trainer? And keep a resume on your peoples and on themselves. What a great way to go back and pull training material. So kudos to having a case. Yeah.
Yeah, just countless times I'll come back and something will come to my mind. You know, it will be on a car and it's in this book and I'll go find the book. And sure enough, there's what we needed, that piece of material. And these are, again, we're a lot of work in progress here, but one of my newest technicians, he brought in all his. So we're going to start building kind of a library of material for each of our team members. And then this is where my office will eventually be, right here. I'm calling out. So, and then you can kind of see the shot from afar. We've got four hoists in there right now. We've got room. We're going to probably put another one in summertime, you know, once we get to June, July, in that time frame. And we just had the fourth one put in 2 weeks ago now. So we were really excited about that.
Wow, 2 years in. 2 years in, and look what you have.
And we do have separate bathrooms, which was really nice as well. And I try to make sure we were always keeping all of the facilities clean. And so we keep all of our janitorial supplies back here as well.
So you said the word process. Was it you or was it Bill that said, listen, if we don't design or you don't design the processes to make this place run like a clock, you're not going to be as successful early on? I mean, are you a process person?
Very much so. And I come from a pretty processed background from other employers, but Bill really drove it home with me that we've got to get processes in place. And right now, you know, we're working on writing a lot of SOPs and we're involving all the team members in that process. And I think that's ultimately what leads to success, is if you've got, you know, how we need to do things and why. And
so I think we were looking at your Diag toolkit, right?
Yeah. So this is what we've invested a lot of our money into is scan equipment. And we've got a lot of manufacturer tools, as you can see in there, and a lot of different scan tools. And that's part of my vision, looking 5 to 10 years down the road. And so we've got all our common vehicles that we see. We've got all the manufacturer equipment for those. And it's not cheap, but we knew we had to do it.
Yeah. If you subscribe to my newsletter, you're going to see me write an article about, are you stuck in a certain business strategy? And one of my little touch points is the diagnostic stuff. What do you think you got invested in that diagnostic cart and all the tools that are there?
$25,000, $20,000, $25,000.
I was going to guess 30, but you know,
I might be light too.
Okay, but the point is that name of the business is Accelerated Diagnostics and Automotive. Diagnostics comes first, right after Accelerated. So, and this is this what you love? Do you love the diagnostic side of the business, the challenge?
I personally do. Yes. Yeah, that was one of the things I felt I had a really unique skill set given to me. And I felt that's part of why I wanted to go into business, is knowing the evolution of technology on these vehicles. I felt that we had a real good place to be.
Early on in the business now, Matt, do you have to have your head underneath the hood of a car, or do you have to have a scan tool in your hand to feel satisfied every day?
So at first it was a full-time job working on the vehicles till we got the staff. Now, one of the things I'm personally working on, and it's not easy at all, but I have to force myself to step out of the shop and get out of the hood, from under the hood, because I have team members that I've got to care for, and I've got marketing to do, and I've got bookkeeping to do. And as Bill's told me many times, is to not do the work in the business, but to make sure the business can operate.
You just said something that many can relate to in the industry, and that is you were a one-person shop. How long into figuring out if you hired your first person, but you said you hired Bill, a coach, about 5 months in, right?
Yes.
Were you attempting to get off the counter at that time? Or did you say, listen, I can't wait. I need this.
This actually was built into the business plan. I knew what I wanted to scale this to, employee, like size wise. You know, I knew I wanted between 3 and 5 employees within a certain time period. And I knew with growth, we were going to have to get to that point. But it really took the coach to push me into hiring these, because each time you add somebody to the team, it's a little scary because you've got some added livelihood you're at stake for. You know what? I'm supporting this person's well-being and their family, and I needed a little push from somebody to say, Matt, you can do it. You know it. And I don't think I could have done that on my own. It's really difficult for me sometimes. And that's where the coach has really just been another added value to our success.
So anyone who wants to see the tour of Matt's place, if you didn't join us live on social media, it's on my YouTube channel. If you go to the actual website, remarkableresults.biz, look for Matt's episode. You'll find a link to the YouTube video. It's a great looking shop, but you know, as we talked over it, we were still providing some great wisdom, Matt, based on all the things that you're doing. So it was a great tour. I am so happy to have met you in person and as quickly as we possibly could, because Tracy and I just loved your story about having you on the show and sharing this 2-year-old success story. I can't imagine in 2 more years, what's going to be going on there? And it looks like you've got plenty of room to grow. I mean, even if you outgrow this someday, maybe you can find a bigger, better place and make, if you will, a Shop Mahal out of this thing. Or maybe you'll be in good enough shape to go to, you know, continue to grow and find an additional shop. And again, it's based on your strategy, your vision, your business plan, and your coach's guidance.
Yep, we're excited for the future. Yeah, I really want to thank you, Carm, for all you've done to help us and all you do to help others.
And I'm sitting here as the industry's premier podcaster, not knowing the kind of Matt Wagg influence that we continue to have. And I've heard it over and over again. When I'm out in the public, I hear that. It is such a warm feeling for me. And now I know with my daughter, Tracy, as we were at the big event recently and heard the same kind of stories. So thank you for, as I said earlier, for confirming that what we're doing is really helping advance the aftermarket. So Matt Wagg, Accelerated Diagnostics and Automotive, Bennington, Nebraska. Thanks so much for hanging out with us and seeing your place.
Thank you, Carm. I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Wow, Matt, we need to have you on like once a week.
Yeah.
You're just so spot on with everything. And it's
I had a lot of fun.
It's been so great. You know, like I told you, a vision, like hearing Bill's story, meeting you in person, and now seeing your shop, it's just come full circle. And it's really nice.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.